We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, Lakers Nation. Welcome into the LakersNation.com podcast. I am Trevor Lane, and it is game day. Lakers, Pacers tonight. The Lakers on a 5-game win streak, and they keep it rolling against the Indiana Pacers. These two teams were in a track meet just a few days ago. The final score 150 to 145 the last time these two sides played. So we could be in for a very fast pace, very high scoring game tonight that hopefully the Lakers will come out on top in once again. Got a lot to get to on today's show. Need to talk about Gabe Vincent's return. We need to break down this matchup with the Pacers. Plus, I've got to get into the mailbag as well. But first, Darvin Ham firing back at his critics. This is what Darvin Ham had to say after the Lakers win the other night over the Memphis Grizzlies. He was asked whether or not he regretted not putting Rui Hachimura into the starting lineup sooner. And this was Darvin's response. He said, things play out the way they play out. The same could be said when you're looking and you're going through different stretches during the season. And I think whether it's injuries or lack of performance, or if the guys struggle or going through a tough stretch, it forces you to make different decisions and you have to activate different lineups and different schemes or whatever that you feel like in the moment are going to help you get through whatever rough stretch you're going through. Again, injuries, would everyone agree that injuries would affect the rotation or minutes or something like that? Like, it's a real thing. It's funny because it was being reported like I'm just sitting in my office and just throwing stuff against the wall with a bunch of healthy players. Like, no, there's a reason why things were the way they were. And I'm just happy we got through those stretches. And now we're in a great place, great space mentally, spiritually, with this group, physically, we're coming along. So he's saying we feel good about where we are right now. All right. So Darvin Ham pretty much firing back against this idea that he's just throwing whatever at the wall and seeing what sticks. His rotations have been heavily criticized this season, but here's the thing. And as someone who has criticized his rotations, that's not for nothing. That's not because everyone is out to get Darvin Ham. That's because some of the rotations have been a little bit crazy, have been a little, shall we say, experimental at best. Look, if you're going to do something like bench both of your starting guards that are two of the higher paid players on your team, I'm talking D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves, in favor of a veteran minimum guy, Cam Reddish, and a biannual exception guy in Torian Prince, and you're going to start no guards with very little shooting in a 5-man starting lineup, you're going to open yourself up to criticism. And Darvin, his explanation here, by the way, I think he was talking more about the beginning of the season, but when I look at the most indefensible lineups we've seen from Darvin, it's that. It's the Cam Reddish, Torian Prince, Jared Vanderbilt, LeBron James, Anthony Davis lineup. Now, are there other people who signed off on that lineup? Probably. I don't think Darvin just made that decision and said, here, this is what we're doing. And everybody said, no, this is awful. And Darvin said, I don't care. I'm sure there were other people that said, yeah, I think we can make this work. But that lineup specifically, if you're going to put that lineup out there, it better work. It better work, because if not, you're going to open yourself up to a lot of criticism. You know that's going to happen. Hey, we're going to go play a lineup with no guards. What did you think was going to happen if it didn't work out? People were going to say, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Look, there's a reason why teams tend to have guards on the floor. Now, that's not to say that there haven't been moments in NBA history where a coach has bucked the trend, where a coach has tried something different and it's worked out great. Think about Mike D'Antoni, the 7 second or less Suns. You remember how many people were saying, this idiot, he's putting Amari Stoudemire at center. Sean Marion's going to play power forward. They're going to play fast. They're going to shoot a lot of threes. That's never going to work. No, and it wound up revolutionizing the game. Completely changed the way the game of basketball is played today. It worked. There was a lot of criticism, and then it worked. And now everybody says, oh my gosh, this is a genius. Mike D'Antoni, he managed to change the way the game of basketball is played. But you know what? Those lineups are few and far between. Mike D'Antoni looked around the NBA and said, you know what? I don't think teams have to play big like this. Everybody's doing it. I don't think we have to. I think I've got a better way. And it turns out he was right. But you know what happens? Most of the time when everybody's doing something one particular way, like, you know, having guards on the court, there's a reason for it. And the reason isn't that you're smarter than all of them. And I'm not saying that that's what Darvin Ham was suggesting, simply saying that when you're going to put out a lineup that bucks the trend that badly in terms of what works in the NBA, you're going to go in an NBA that prioritizes shooting and floor spacing. You're going to put a lineup out there that has no shooting and no floor spacing just about and prioritizes defense and rebounding. You're going to get criticized for it unless it works. If you're right, you're going to get all the credit. You're going to get all the praise. You're going to be seen as a genius. But if it doesn't work, the opposite's going to be true. And that's exactly what happened. That lineup did not work at all. Now, Darvin, talking about should he have started Rui Hachimura earlier in the season, mentioning that, you know, it takes time for players to click and guys to go through spells and things like that. He's right. Look, Rui didn't shoot great in the month of December. D'Angelo Russell went through a slump at one point. Austin Reeves, did Austin burn his legs out playing for Team USA? That was a talking point as well. So when Darvin's talking about, well, you know, we had to mix things up and guys go through these different spells and everything, and he's trying to figure out what is going to work and what's going to get them through that particular time period, he's not wrong. It's not necessarily wrong. His plan was to start Jared Vanderbilt. His plan was to start Jared Vanderbilt at the beginning of the season, and Vando got hurt and he had to pivot, and his options were Rui Hachimura, who he didn't think was playing the way that he needed to, and Taurean Prince. And he's got a history with Taurean Prince, and so he went with Taurean. He went with Taurean, and it didn't work. And Taurean stuck in the starting lineup probably for too long. He gave him too much leeway. And then we eventually, rather than getting Rui back, and Rui was in and out of the lineup with injuries too, we went to this all wings, none of whom were Rui, and that was the lineup that they wound up putting out there. So Darvin's not wrong in that guys have struggled and they've gone through a tough stretch, as he calls it. D'Lo had his slump. Austin started slow. Rui was in and out with injuries. He mentions injuries. The Lakers have been an insanely injured team this season. A lot of other fans of other teams don't realize it because LeBron has largely been healthy. AD has largely been healthy. And that's all people pay attention to. But if you actually look at this Lakers roster, they've been incredibly injured. And we're going to talk about the return of Gabe Vincent in just a moment. But you can't dismiss everything that has been done lineup-wise, rotation-wise, simply to slumps, stretches of poor play, and injuries. It can't all be chalked up to that. Just can't. I mean, we even heard there was frustration from the players about not going back to the lineups that were working last season. Not utilizing that consistency that they were praised so much for over the summer. So look, does Darvin get a little bit too much criticism sometimes? Probably. Yeah, I think that's probably a fair thing to say. And when Darvin pushes back here and says, you know, well, I had this going on. I had injuries. Guys were going through tough stretches, all this. He's also not wrong. But that also doesn't explain everything. And you know what would have been really nice? In that response from Darvin, who, again, I think he's a good dude. I think he's a good dude. And I wish it worked out better with him with the Lakers this season. And I think this team really is turning. He's not wrong. This team is turning it around. And who knows where things go from here. But I wish somewhere in that statement, in this is a long statement. somewhere in all of this, he just said something like, and I tried a couple things that I thought might work and they didn't. That's it. I mean, he can still say injuries. He can still say guys went through tough stretches, because that's all true. That's all true. But did he also pick some rotations that on paper didn't make sense and then on the floor didn't make sense either once they got out? Yes, that happened too. Did he stick with some rotations that didn't work longer than he should? Yeah, that happened too. And it would have been nice if somewhere in there he just said, you know what? Look, I don't get enough credit for some of these things. I get, you know, people get on me too much about this. People act like I'm just throwing stuff at the wall, and that's not the case. I had injuries. I had all this stuff. Yeah, say all that. But also, hey, I blew it on a couple of these too. Why is that so difficult? It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. And again, I don't want to be overly critical of Darvin. I think he does catch probably a little bit too much flack sometimes. I think he's a good guy. But I think it would have gone a long way in that statement had he just said, and I got it wrong a couple of times. Because it happens. It happens. All right. We need to talk about Gabe Vincent and him returning. First, let's give a quick shout out to our sponsor.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. Plus, 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
BetUS, great sponsor for the show. Fantastic promo there. 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits, up to $2,500, 10% gambler's insurance. You guys can see the BetUS on your screen there if you're watching over on YouTube. Very, very easy to come in here and make your picks. Whatever it is that you want to do, whatever plays that you want to find, you can go make your picks and off you go. You can come over. You can see exactly what you want to do. They've got a very friendly chat system as well. Super, super easy. You go, you place your bet. It'll tell you exactly how much you can win by making that selection. You make a few selections, and it'll tell you exactly what you could potentially get on that. You can even do a little parlay bet here, and you can see exactly what calculates it all for you. Really, really cool. So you guys can check out BetUS. Again, use the link in the description below, and make sure you use that promo code JOIN125. To get that 125% bonus on your first three deposits up to $2,500. All right. Gabe Vincent. He's returning. Gabe Vincent coming back. Shams Charania reported this yesterday. Gabe Vincent scheduled to join the team. He's supposed to be joining the team in Indiana for tonight's game. Will not play tonight, but sounds like he's going to be available for Sunday. So what does this mean for the Lakers and for their rotation? Now that we've had a little bit of time to kind of digest this happening, what is this going to mean? So Gabe Vincent was the guy the Lakers spent most of their mid-level exception on this last summer. He was the one guy. They had the mid-level exception to use. Everybody else that they paid was a guy that was coming back, with the exception of, say, like, you know, Torian Prince got the biannual exception. Everybody else was a minimum player. D'Lo got paid. Austin got paid. Vando got paid, Rui got paid, but these are all guys that you're using bird rights to bring back. Gabe Vincent was the one free agent that you could go out there and get and say, we're adding this guy to the equation. We're adding this guy, and he's expected to play a pretty big role. He was going to fill in that Dennis Schroeder role. He's only played five games this season. They have been five pretty bad games. I believe he's shooting like 12% from three. Now, he was also great for the Miami Heat last year in the playoffs. So Gabe is returning. And I like Gabe Vincent as a player. I hope he can get back to 100%. That's the big question mark here. Number one, phenomenal. Phenomenal news that Gabe Vincent is coming back. That's great. You always want to hear the guys are getting healthy, and this is important for the Lakers, not just for this season, but it could also prove to be important for the Lakers on the trade market. This summer, if they have a healthy Gabe Vincent, that they could potentially use that $11 million salary for next year out there on the market, that is a much easier sell than we're going to use an $11 million Gabe Vincent who is not healthy and who knows when he's going to be healthy. That's not going to carry a lot of value. Not a lot of teams are going to want to take that contract on, which is what they saw at the trade deadline this past year when they tried to move him. Nobody wanted him. So he's got two more years under contract. If he can come back, Obviously, that helps you out this summer, potentially on the trade market. I think he can help this team this season, though, too. The big question, though, is where do the minutes come from? And I know a lot of people, a lot of Lakers fans have said, yay, Gabe is back, but oh no, I hope he doesn't take Spencer Dinwiddie's minutes. And I think it's important to remember that Gabe Vincent, it's not like Sunday he's going to go out there and play 30 minutes. That's not going to be the case. It's going to take a while for him to fully ramp up and get back, get his timing back, his rhythm back, all of that kind of stuff, get his conditioning back to where it needs to be. So I don't think Gabe's going to come in right out of the gate playing major minutes to where he's taking away something from Spencer Dinwiddie. And frankly, Spencer Dinwiddie, who came in and really took Gabe's job, right? The Lakers, they got Spencer Dinwiddie on the buyout market, and he has taken over that role. Third guard in the rotation, the pesky defender, which was not what he was known as through the bulk of his NBA career, but comes to the Lakers and suddenly he's a pesky defender. We'll take it. He's starting to get more comfortable in that role. And now Gabe Vincent comes back. I don't think Gabe is taking that away from Spencer right now. Dinwiddie's been too critical. He's been great defending Damian Lillard. By the way, Austin Reeves had a phenomenal defensive game the other night against Milwaukee. He was great. He's picking it up there. But I don't think Gabe comes right in and just takes away Gabe's minutes or Dinwiddie's minutes. I don't think he takes D'Lo's minutes. I don't think he takes Austin's minutes. I think he takes some pressure off. He takes some pressure off in that you've got another guard with experience now that you can turn to, another guy who's accustomed to hitting big shots. And when he's physically at his best, and we don't know if that's where he's going to be, he can be a pesky defender. We've talked a lot about the net rating of the Lakers and how it's better when it's Dinwiddie next to D'Lo, when it's Dinwiddie next to Austin rather than Austin and D'Lo next to each other. And the reason for that being that despite the fact that Austin and D'Lo are the most talented of the Lakers guards, no question, they're the most talented of the Lakers guards, having a defensive presence next to them is a positive. It's something that works out really well. And so what I think Gabe returning does is it gives you more minutes where you can have somebody who checks the boxes playing next to D'Lo or Austin, who checks the boxes of being, number one, being a pesky defender. Because Dinwiddie can do that, right? But he's only going to play 25-ish minutes a night, right? So now Gabe Vincent comes in. He can be a pesky defender. He can hit shots. And then the third thing, he can create a little bit. Now, is he, I would say he's even behind Spencer Dinwiddie a little bit as a creator. But could he be a secondary creator for you? Sure. And that's really all we're talking about. A secondary creator who can go out there and attack a closeout and maybe make the right pass when the defense is in rotation. So that's what you're looking for here with Gabe Vincent. And I think he can provide those things. And it gives you more minutes, if Darvin Ham wants to use him this way, more minutes of D'Lo with the pesky defender next to him, Austin with a pesky defender next to him. Now, if Austin's going to play 30 minutes, D'Lo's going to play 30 minutes, there's still going to be overlap between those two guys. There's no question. There's still going to be overlap. They're probably going to play 35 minutes a night each. That's probably what we're going to see. But I don't look at Gabe Vincent's return and say, oh no, Spencer Dinwiddie's losing his role. I think he's done too much. I think Spencer's done too well, but this does give you that little bit of extra insurance. And I think where the minutes are going to come from initially, and I'm sorry to say it, I think Max Christie, his minutes are gone, and that would not be my choice. But I, based on the substitution patterns we've seen from Darvin, it feels like Cam Reddish is ahead of Max Christie in the pecking order. And so that's probably the way that's going to go, is Max Christie will lose his minutes. He's not playing many. I believe he's played seven minutes in each of the last two games. So that's not a lot, but there's 7 minutes. And then maybe Cam Reddish loses some minutes and those kind of get absorbed by Gabe. And maybe you see him 10 minutes. You know, that's, I'm not expecting Gabe to come out there and play 20 minutes, 30 minutes, anything like that. 10 minutes maybe to start, and then we go from there. So I'm not overly concerned about Spencer Dinwiddie's job being taken away here. I think if anything, this just gives you a little bit more insurance and perhaps gives you another veteran player to turn to that can be a pesky defensive player on the perimeter, where we know the Lakers need help. That's been their problem. It's been their ability to defend. They've been one of the worst defensive teams in the NBA since the All-Star break. So Gabe Vincent, if he physically can do it, can theoretically help you out a little bit. on that end of the floor. Now, of course, the bigger thing, it's Jared Vanderbilt. His return, that's really what the Lakers need in order to take their defense to another level. Fingers crossed. Come on, Vando. Need to get him back in action. All right, let's talk a little bit about tonight's game. Lakers-Pacers. So the Lakers play the Pacers tonight. I'm not going to spend a lot of time breaking down this matchup because I think we all kind of know what needs to happen here. Now, last time around, the Lakers did a great job defensively on Tyrese Halliburton, who did get going and hit some shots late. I have a feeling, especially at home, they're probably not going to be able to control him quite as much. And the Pacers are a team that can get hot from three. So the Lakers' defense is definitely going to be tested, but the Pacers are still a terrible defensive team themselves. So if Anthony Davis is questionable, LeBron is questionable. If both those guys play, the Lakers need to make it a point. I know you can get drawn into a three-point shootout with the Pacers. The Lakers have been one of the better three-point shooting teams since the All-Star break. They've been one of the better three-point shooting teams of the season. Go figure. Like, has not been the Lakers' MO for years now to be a good three-point shooting team. Suddenly they are. But the Lakers, I think, need to put a lot of pressure on the rim against Indiana. Punish them there. Miles Turner, heaven help him, he could not stick with Anthony Davis. If AD plays, AD needs to crush Miles Turner once again. And the Lakers defensively have to close out on the three-point line. They have to, because Indiana will shoot a ton of threes. They're going to fly up and down the court. They play at an insanely fast pace. And you watch Indiana. Watch what they do. Watch the way their eyes light up every time Anthony Davis is even a half a step behind the play. Indiana is looking to, every single time they can, sprint down the floor and pray they get there before Anthony Davis gets back. If AD goes for an offensive rebound and doesn't get it, watch how quickly Indiana gets down the floor. If AD shoots a layup and his momentum, even if he makes it, carries him off the court, watch how quickly Indiana goes the other way. They are keeping an eye on Anthony Davis, and they're trying to maximize the number of times, even if they can get 3-4 seconds of half-court offense without Anthony Davis in the play, they are going to try to capitalize on those. So it's on the Lakers. It's on the other guys. Austin, D'Lo, Torian, Rui, LeBron, AD, all these other guys to get back. All of them have to get back. And again, AD has to get back as well. But Indiana particularly looks to really push the pace whenever AD is going to be behind the play. So that's something to really keep an eye on in this game. Can the Lakers try to mitigate those opportunities for the Pacers? If you have Anthony Davis back there defensively, and again, fingers crossed, hopefully he plays, but if you have him back there defensively, it makes a big, big difference. AD dealing with that hyperextended knee, hopefully, fingers crossed, he is a go. Speaking of hoping Anthony Davis is a go, folks, I got to say this. I'm annoyed, and it's not from a Lakers perspective. I'm annoyed. I understand why teams are doing what they're doing. But a few nights ago, the Denver Nuggets, who are playing some of the best basketball in the NBA, they played the Phoenix Suns, who the Lakers badly need to lose. Look at the standings. The Lakers are 2 games back of the Suns right now, but the Lakers have the tiebreaker over Phoenix. The Lakers need the Suns to lose games. The Suns were playing Denver in Denver, and the Nuggets did not play Jamal Murray. Didn't play him. Now, Jamal Murray had been out for a few games. He's been dealing with a knee issue and all of that. And look, if I'm Denver, I'm not worried about seeding. They're the one seed right now, but I'm not really worried about seeding. They're in a tight race. They have Minnesota and OKC right there behind them. If I'm Denver, if I'm the one, the two, the three, I don't really care. I think Denver will be just fine regardless of what seed they're in. So from their perspective, I get it. They don't have a lot of incentive to push it here with Jamal Murray. But it sure was frustrating to see Phoenix go light up Denver and hit crazy shots. And Denver, all those shots that they hit against the Lakers, those were not dropping against Phoenix. Nowhere close. They had nowhere near the pep in their step that they typically have if it's the Lakers they're playing against. So that was frustrating, given how badly the Lakers need a loss from Phoenix. And now, this is what's got me annoyed. Tonight, the Suns play the Thunder. And the Thunder, boy, if anybody needs the one seed, it's OKC. OKC, a younger team. They need every advantage they can get. They need the one side. One seed, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, MVP candidate, doubtful to play, dealing with his own injury. So the Suns have an extremely difficult schedule, but now they're going to get the Nuggets, which is a game you would look at as a high potential loss for the Suns. They get the Nuggets without Jamal Murray. Then you go OKC, a high potential loss for the Suns. They get them without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Now, Phoenix got San Antonio without Victor Wembanyama and lost that game. So you never know. Who knows? Maybe the Suns still lose. But from a Lakers perspective, who badly need the Suns to lose, that's frustrating to see two of the very losable games on their schedule, to see them get breaks on the injury side of things. Now, I'll also say the Suns played without Yusuf Nurkic. It would be kind of dishonest not to mention that. They played without Nurkic against Denver. Still won. Give credit to the Suns. They played great that game. But from the Lakers' perspective, that's a killer, seeing them get these teams without their key players. Okay, let's get into the mailbag a little bit here. Let's talk about that. We've got a lot of comments coming in from after the Lakers win against the Grizzlies. Sneaky important win. I thought we would lose this considering yesterday's circumstances. Lakers in second night of back-to-back, but we took care of business. We still need to improve our IQ and fundamentals if we want to do something. Yeah, I mean, I did think there were a number of mistakes the Lakers made against the Grizzlies that I thought were fatigue-related mistakes, which was to be expected. They played a double overtime game the night before and then traveled and still pulled off the win. I hope they've got energy for tonight against Indiana, because that's Indiana will run you off the floor if you're tired. Face Reality said, I predicted a huge game from Rui and Braun. Let's go. Rui and Braun were both great against Memphis. Both great. LeBron had a triple-double. Rui put up 32 points. Huge. DJ, way to win the back-to-back. Hachimura ripping the nylon tonight like Kenyon Martin. Oh, no. Oh, no. If you were with us on playback, by the way, come join us for tonight's game, or this afternoon's game, I should say, 4 o'clock Pacific time tip for Lakers Pacers. If you join us on playback.tv/LakersNation, youtube.com/LakersNation as well, during the game, our own Ryan Ward had a pretty funny flatulence story about Kenyon Martin, so therefore ripping the nylon. Let's rest those legs for those up and down the court Pacers. Which Laker was known as Zeke from Cabin Creek? That would be Jerry West. So, yeah. The great Jerry West, unfortunately, wound up with the Clippers organization. Maybe mistakes were made there, but Jerry West, yeah. Trey said, Ham deserves his job terminated after this season for two reasons. The way he eliminated Rui, the start of the season, and the end of that third quarter. It's always frustrating whenever a team comes back against the Lakers, when it feels like the Lakers get to just cruise and then suddenly a team gets let back in a game. We saw it against Memphis, but limiting Rui, I already kind of ranted at the start of the show about the rotations at the beginning of the season and Darvin's response to that criticism. But so I won't rehash that. But I do think, you know, we'll see what happens the rest of the way. We'll see what happens the remainder of the season here and what happens in the postseason. But I think that's what's going to determine the fate of Darvin Ham with the Lakers. Tricksters, 5 wins in a row. Standing, watching is going to be more fun. And why can't Reddish finish at the rim? Yeah, it's great to see the Lakers winning some games. That's fantastic. I think people are starting to realize that them sitting in the 9 seed right now is not really reflective of where they are as a team, because like any other season, they would not be anywhere close to a 9 seed. But it's just this season is so ridiculous in the West and teams just won't stop winning. But why can't Reddish finish at the rim? I don't know, but he's probably not on a minimum contract if he could. If he could play defense at a high level and finish at the rim, he wasn't like an adventure every time he's on a fast break, he's not probably not on a minimum contract. And that's not to mention if he could shoot respectably from corner threes. Andrew, I love that we're playing our best basketball of the season right now. Austin Reeves and his drives are making the offense hum. Purple and gold, baby. Yeah, his Austin's finishing at the rim has been phenomenal. So good. So efficient there. And him attacking those closeouts, getting to the basket, it's been a really, really big addition for the Lakers. Props to the Grizz announcers for understanding why the Lakers get free throws. I wasn't listening to the Grizz announcers, but yes, indeed. I mean, the crazy thing is, it's not rocket science. It's very simple. If you are already of the mindset, if you're one of those Lakers haters that is already of the mindset that the league is hashtag rigged for the Lakers, then you can do a cursory glance and you can find what you're looking for. You can see a free throw discrepancy and you can go, oh, there it is. There, right there, proof. And there's a number of national media outlets that have put stuff like that out there. Graphics and things like that showing this free throw discrepancy. And everybody goes, up, oh, see, it's rigged. Rigged for LeBron. Okay, watch LeBron play. Watch how many times he gets fouled and tell me the league is rigged for LeBron. Good Lord, if LeBron got that Giannis whistle, huh, imagine that. But when you dig a little bit deeper, and not having to dig very far, you find that the Lakers are one of the teams that shoot the most at the rim. They're tied for shooting the fewest three-pointers per game of any team in the NBA. So think about that. You tend to get fouled more when you shoot closer to the basket, right? The Lakers shoot almost the most shots at the rim of anybody in the NBA. They also shoot the fewest threes where you tend to not get fouled very often because it's a long jump shot. So you add that in. And then their defense is to a fault, a defense that prioritizes not fouling to the point where they give up open looks. They give up open threes, which you tend to not commit fouls on. They also do a pretty good job defending at the rim, which again, when teams have open looks from deep, or they can go try to challenge Anthony Davis, they're going to say, yeah, we'll take the open look from deep. Those shots tend to not generate very many fouls. So add all of that up. The Lakers get to the rim a lot. You tend to get fouled when you get to the rim. They don't shoot many threes. You don't get fouled very often when you shoot threes. They give up a lot of open threes. They don't give up a lot of looks at the rim. Put all of that together, you would expect there to be a big free throw discrepancy. Again, not rocket science. But if you're the type that believes that the league is somehow rigged for the Lakers, you can do that cursory glance, look at the free throw discrepancy, and then shout it from the mountaintops that you have proof. You spend an extra 10 seconds looking, though, and you can see exactly what's going on. Not to mention, if you, by God, just watch the game. That, I mean, I know, mind-blowing stuff here, right? Watch the game, and you'll see exactly what's happening and why the Lakers are shooting more free throws typically than their opponents do. Very easy. Hello World said, I don't mean to spoil the mood, but can we talk about how Mitchell Robinson came back before Gabe? He did. He did. And good for the Knicks, by the way. Let's go Knicks. Let's go any team in the East that's not named the Celtics. We need these teams in the East to get healthy. Somebody stop those green ghouls. Any word on AD's knee? Nothing. Nothing right now. All is that he's questionable for tonight's game. Orbit, we miss Vando so much. D'Lo has become so undeniably important to this team. Proud of the Lake Show. He really has. He really has, and he's probably going to be a free agent this summer. Keith Smith and I talked about that a little bit. D'Lo mentioned that he would like to stay with the Lakers. He has a whole statement about it. But he's played his way into a new contract. He's probably going to get a raise, probably going to be a long-term deal as well. Will it be with the Lakers? It sounds like he would like to stay. So that's a good thing. But what are the Lakers going to be willing to pay? Check out the Lakers Nation YouTube channel, youtube.com/LakersNation. We broke down the whole thing. You can also check out the NBA front office show on YouTube or the podcast side. Keith and I did a whole show yesterday, and the D'Lo story was part of that too. So check out youtube.com/NBA front office. Bub said, I feel like you're not very much of LeBron fans. Not very much of LeBron fans. I assuming what he means is that we're not big LeBron fans. The way, so after the game against the Grizzlies, Daniel Starkand, Mark Gunnels, and I, we were on the post-game show. And LeBron got a triple-double, but there were some LeBron fans in the chat that were, or some people in the chat saying, let's talk more about LeBron. And let's, you know, and I get it. Look, there are people who are LeBron fans, like specifically LeBron fans. That's not the lens that I look at the NBA through. I say it all the time. I look through purple and gold lenses. I look at it from the Lakers perspective. The Lakers will still be here after LeBron's gone. I care about what happens to the team after LeBron's gone. And I always will. I grew up a Lakers fan. And I'm not going to tell anybody how to be a fan. If you want to be a fan of a specific player, and when that player retires, you're going to become a fan of another player or whatever, and that's the way you enjoy the game, so be it. That's great. Enjoy the game how you want to enjoy the game. But I think there's a few things that cause people, particularly LeBron fans, to think that I'm not a LeBron fan or that we're not LeBron fans or whatever. Again, if you are a LeBron fan, you are specifically sitting there saying, when are we going to talk more about LeBron? That's what I want to hear about. I want to hear about LeBron. When are we going to talk more about LeBron? That's not, I want to talk about the Lakers. And LeBron is certainly a big part of that. But I want to talk about the Lakers. So when we're not talking a lot about LeBron, and we gave the superstar of the night to Rui Hachimura, is there a little bit of voter fatigue in there? Sure. And we wanted to give Rui a little bit of extra praise because let's face it, most nights LeBron can win an award in our postgame show like superstar of the night. He's probably won that award. In fact, not even probably. Over the years, I'm sure he's won the award more than anybody else has. We give out that award every postgame. So we wanted to give some credit to Rui Hachimura. I didn't think there was anything wrong with that, but by the time the show was over, I realized that, you know, LeBron dropped a triple-double, and we didn't spend a lot of time talking about it. We really didn't. I think the reason for that is because it's expected, right? Like, there's only so many times you can say, he's doing this and he's 39, right? Like, we all know LeBron is great. There's no question. We can all marvel at the things that he's doing out there, and we can talk about how great it is that he had a triple-double in this game. He stepped up for Anthony Davis, just as AD stepped up the game before when LeBron was out. We can talk about those things, right? But the more pressing stuff is what's going to happen when Gabe comes back, right? Like, what happens to the rotation then? Should Rui be getting more minutes in the rotation, right? These are the things that are up in the air. You know, we know what LeBron's role is. We know what his minutes are. We know exactly how the Lakers are going to use him. We know he set the bar super high because he's LeBron James. He might be the GOAT. All of that, we know. We know exactly what to expect from LeBron on a night-in-night-out basis. So by the end of that show, I did feel like we should have spent more time talking about the fact that LeBron got a triple-double. But I also understood why, and a lot of the comments and stuff that we were getting coming in were not all about LeBron. Part of that is just because he set the bar so high, the expectations so high, and that's a credit to him and how great he's been over his career, that LeBron, if Rui drops a triple-double, it's, oh my gosh, what a game, right? LeBron drops a triple-double, and it's like, oh, LeBron had another triple-double. Okay. Right? Because that's what he does. This is what LeBron is and what he's always been over the course of his career. So it's not that we're not LeBron fans. We're Lakers fans. And LeBron is a Laker. And I certainly want to spend time giving him all the praise because he deserves it. He's playing incredible basketball. He's doing unprecedented things. But there's a reason why after a game, sometimes your attention is drawn other places, even though LeBron was great. That's just a testament to how high he has set that bar, how consistently he has hit that level on a night in, night out basis to the point where we kind of come to expect it. Anyway, and again, I'm not saying that's right because I've also been the guy saying to cherish these moments because they're not going to last forever. Enjoy LeBron while he's here. He's one of the greatest players of all time, if not the greatest player of all time. But looking at that show, yeah, I think we didn't talk as much LeBron because there was a lot of other stuff that was more up in the air than LeBron and his role and his performance. Question says, thanks for remembering the overseas fans. Post past 4 a.m. here in Poland. Totally exhausted after this back-to-back. Let's finish the season strong. Man, thank you so much. I'm going to butcher your name. Przemyslaw. That was my best shot at it. And again, apologies for I'm sure I did a terrible job with your name, but I really do appreciate that. I can tell you just from 2 days of the Dodgers playing in Korea and those games starting at 3 a.m. Pacific time. I mean, what an appreciation I've got for the fans across the seas that are staying up till the middle of the night to watch Lakers games. I mean, and doing it all season long. Incredible dedication. I don't know that I could do it. I need sleep. I don't know that I could pull it off. You guys are amazing. Robert said, Rui Hachimura. I like it. I always like a good pun. And Mamadou said, Master Lock the Lakers bench for almost blowing the lead. That was the frustrating part of the game against the Grizzlies. The Lakers bench almost giving up that lead. Nervous. A bit nervous at some points. All right. Lakers Pacers tonight. Come join us over on Playback. Playback.tv/LakersNation. Watch the game. Hang out with us. It's more fun. We hang out together during the game. So come join us. Playback.tv/LakersNation. The play-by-play will also be here on the Lakers Nation YouTube channel. YouTube.com/LakersNation as well. Can the Lakers stretch their win streak to 6 games now? Let's get it done. And come on, OKC. Beat the Suns tonight. Let's go. Till next time, everybody. See ya. And stay safe.